Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this snowy Monday here in Middle Tennessee. Vanderbilt Athletics has put out this release due to positive COVID-19 testing within the program. Vanderbilt has announced that their men's basketball activities have been temporarily paused. So they will not participate in this week's Legends Classic, which was supposed to take place in Connecticut. Also, I'm seeing that there is swirlings out there. I don't know if it is official yet, but I'm seeing a lot of sources are saying that the Northwestern Minnesota game on Saturday in Minneapolis is expected to be canceled as well. The football game.
Northwestern. It's getting very complicated in the Big
Minnesota.
Ten.
Yep.
Especially for Ohio State, who had to cancel their game. Their coach has the COVID. The game against Michigan State is still up in the air. They're hoping to play, but if they are not able to play that, they would technically drop below the threshold of the number of games. That's even if they play Michigan. Assuming they do, they would still be under the minimum six to participate in the Big Ten championship game. Now, I'm going to guess that they'll change the rules between now and then if this continues to be an issue, which I think it will be. Remember, when you test positive in the Big Ten, you're out for 3 weeks, 21 days. Their rules are a little different than some other leagues.
By the way, it looks like it is official that football game has indeed been canceled. So
they've officially whacked the Michigan State-Ohio State game?
No, I'm sorry. The Minnesota-Northwestern, I was seeing a lot of sources. It looks like Nicole Auerbach is saying that the Minnesota-Northwestern game has indeed been canceled.
That's the first one Northwestern has had to miss. Remember that they,
coming
despite
their
the loss,
loss.
Yeah,
yes.
Despite the loss, which they had control of the game. They had a bad fumble that cost them against Michigan State. But they still have the inside track to play in that game, in the championship game.
All right, let's talk with TD. Talking with TD is the podcast that you can hear on Wednesdays on 102.5 The Game. Nate and TD on Friday nights during the 6 o'clock hour. And now he joins us. Teron Davenport is also the NFL Nation reporter covering the Titans for ESPN and ESPN.com. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Weigh in on our discussion to end the last hour. The stat that's out there on the 370 carries over the years has been kind of a death knell for running backs. But I said, look, I'm not disregarding or discounting that stat. I do think it holds weight. I think stats are what they are. It's not an opinion. It's just stating a fact that when running backs get to that threshold, they've never been the same afterwards. I mean, there's just a lot of history of that. But I said, maybe we downplay it a little bit because there's just simply not the collisions, and players are unable to get away with what they used to do back before kind of these rule changes. Do you buy into any of that at all or no?
Yeah, I buy into that. I think the collisions are different, and as it pertains to Derrick Henry, he doesn't really have as many collisions. Of course, there were a couple last week and a couple yesterday, but I think you have to look at guys like Sean Alexander, who happens to be a mentor of his, a guy he talks to every day. Alexander was able to withstand a couple seasons of that intense running, you know, getting the ball at one season, I believe it was almost 400 times, you know. But then you also look at Larry Johnson. You know, there are guys who took that pounding and they gave you production over a 2-3 year period. But then after that, yeah, they did drop off, and it's understandable. I just think it's different. And you have to mention Eddie George as well, who just happens to be a mentor of Derrick Henry. So I think he has the right people in his corner just to kind of help him manage the threshold of carries that he's getting. And then just the fact that he's in such superb shape. And you have to look at how a lot of these defenders, they're not as big as they used to be. You know, the linebackers are more like safeties back in the day. You know, Carnell Nate Ronnie Lott, those guys would probably be outside linebackers in today's game. So it is a lot different.
You know, I feel like Lane Kiffin at times when Derrick Henry gets the ball. We've all seen the shots of Lane Kiffin, whether he was the OC at Alabama or now the head coach at Ole Miss. It's like well before the play is finished, you know, he's got his arms up in the air. He's throwing his clipboard up in the air, celebrating a touchdown. I swear, you know, last week, this week, and other times, there's just times when he gets the ball and you need to see a couple of steps and you kind of see what's in front of him and you know how he runs. And you just kind of throw your hands up in the air and you go, well, that's going to the house, or, you know, that's going to be a gain of 40 or what. It's crazy. Like, how many running backs do we have the ability to do that with in the NFL? I would say very, very few. I think you could look at maybe a Tyreek Hill in Kansas City because of his speed, and probably if he catches it, you can throw your hands up in the air. But Derrick Henry has the ability to do that where he can take a couple of steps and you look at what's in front of him and you can start celebrating. That's how good he is.
Yeah, it's just beautiful to watch him play. And I'm not saying he's better than these guys or even in their stratosphere, but, you know, you look at guys that I've watched play, Eric Dickerson, Barry Sanders, those are probably, you know, my favorites just to watch, just the poetry and motion. But then Derrick Henry is just as fun to watch. And, again, I'm not saying he's up there with those guys, and I know older people will say Gale Sayers, and without a doubt, but it's just it's entertaining to watch him because he's so big, he runs so strong, but then he has the you know, side-to-side, the lateral movement when need be, like the jump cut last week, and then the ability to accelerate. It's really poetry in motion. And we're getting a treat every time we watch this man play. And I think we need to understand that and cherish this opportunity to see him do what he does.
That's why I make such a big deal out of this, because I want to preserve that, if I'm the Titans, for as long as I possibly can. And so that's why I bring up the 370. Just let's take Sean Alexander, that you've mentioned a number of times, Teron. 2005 is when he had the 370. 1,880 yards that year. I think he might have been the MVP. They got to the Super Bowl. The next year he had 896. And there's just a long list. I mean, there's like 20 guys on this list where almost every time. The only exception is Eric Dickerson, who somehow was able to do it year after year and avoid this. But
how many carries did Alexander have the 2 years before that, though?
The 2 years before that, he never hit 370.
Well, how many did he have?
Oh, I don't have his year-by-year stats in front of me. I'll look it up for you. But
I'm pretty sure he was close in those 2 years because he had a three-year stretch where he had a bunch of carries.
Yeah, well, I know he didn't have 370 that year. I will tell you here in just a moment. But, you know, let's just go down the list. Jamal Anderson, Larry Johnson.
Michael Turner.
Turner, Barry Foster, Edgerrin James. Ricky Williams, Jerome Bettis, Earl Campbell, Curtis Martin, Christian Okoye. There's a lot of them. And Darren's point is well taken. Jamal Lewis, he had 387, and he had the 2,000-yard season, you know, from Tennessee. His yards were cut in half the next year, 1,000. So you just have a. It's a stunning list when you look at it, and you look at the following year. And so that's why I put it out there every week, because they still have control over this. I'm pretty sure they're aware of it. In Toronto, I just brought up yesterday, I thought it was interesting that they decided to give it to him six times on that one drive in the fourth quarter when they were up 38-20, because that was an opportunity to pull back like they have at times during the season.
Yeah, well, Foreman, he was dealing with something at that point, and that's when they put him back out there, put Henry back out there. So, yeah, I get it. You want to try to manage the carries, and, you know, this is where that three-headed monster that they were kind of flashing, this is where it comes into play. And I know fans don't want that because they say, well, we just want to see Henry carry the football. But there has to be some degree of preservation if you could allow him to take off different series, you know, just to get a breather and not – hit that number that you mentioned. I think it is valuable because you know what happens in the playoffs. they're going to really, really run him and use him up. So I think you have to keep that in mind and just gear up towards that.
Which is why this stretch right here is critical, right? If they can create some type of separation where they can kind of coast to the finish line, maybe yeah. they'll be able to do that in maybe the last couple of games, Teron, and use him sparingly, knowing that they've got the division wrapped up and a playoff spot wrapped up. So, obviously, that's got to be something they're discussing. How about the play of their third left tackle, David Quisenberry, yesterday? Obviously, it's a great story that we've all become aware of, but for him to jump in there, I get it, albeit one game, but I thought he did a really good job. What say you?
Yeah, David Quisenberry did an excellent job, and he did a good job last week against the Ravens when it came in. He helped neutralize Yannick Ngakoue, who was murdering Tyson Braylow. You know what I mean? So I think you definitely have to tip your cap to him. You look at some of the blocks that he had down the field. You know, he opened up things at the second level for Henry on a couple of his runs. You saw him come out and block in screens. He handled pass protection well. David Quisenberry is actually a pretty good player, and he's showing it. And it's great to see that, you know, knowing the relationship that he has with Mike Vrabel. I asked him about that. You know, you could tell he was getting emotional, you know, talking about it. So it's just great to see him get his first start and do what he did. And he played really good football. He was a big part of their being able to run the football the way that they did.
They ran the ball excellent. Teron, we'll close the book on the Sean Alexander workload thing here. I've got his stats here. He had basically five tremendous years from 2001 through 2005. In the 2 years leading up, he had the most carries leading up to his year in 2005, where he had 370. 326, then 353, and then he hit 370, and after that he was never the same after that.
Yeah.
So that's he did have a pretty good workload, because a lot of people are saying, well, what's the big difference between 353 or 360 as opposed to 370? Well, that's a great question. I don't know the answer, but just the numbers are the numbers there. So let me
throw. I think the bigger picture is the back to back to back 325 plus.
That's a really good way to look at it.
Than just that one 370. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's something, you know, they've got to research, because they got to protect that asset as long as they can. I'd love to have two or three more years like this, because he changes the game unlike anybody other than a quarterback in the league, I think.
No doubt.
So let me ask you this. Another part of it is, as you guys were talking about, Quisenberry did a great job. The offensive line did a fantastic job based on all what they have to deal with. But another thing that was noted by a lot of people was the blocking of the wide receivers down the field. And it's another thing, Teron, that you've said a lot. Corey Davis had a typical Corey Davis day yesterday. Did his job down the field blocking. They only throw it to him three times. He catches all three. Makes a huge play at the end of the first half. He even had another catch that was called back for a penalty. But at the end of the day, it's not going to equate probably to a 1,000-yard season or anything, but it just shows you how valuable he is. He is valuable at a certain price. So it's another thing that we've been touching on as a theme. What's he worth? How do they keep him around? Because you'd love to have him.
Yeah, and that's going to be a tough nut to crack, because he's going to hit the market, if he hits the market, let's put it that way. And I would imagine a team like the Packers, you know, I definitely think the Eagles, you know, these are teams that are going to want to bring him in, just understanding the talent that he has and knowing how he could fit into their scheme and put up numbers. So you also, in addition to that blocking part, you have the potential that he's going to get paid off of too. So that's really why it's incumbent to, imperative, excuse me, for the Titans to find a way to get an offer out to him. He fits this offense to a T. You know what I mean? And you look at just being on the opposite side of A.J. Brown, you never hear him demanding, to get 10 targets. If he doesn't get targeted, it's not a big issue, you know, that's appearing to us on the outside. I'm sure there are conversations, but I think he just fits from a mindset, a skill set, an approach to football. He fits this team perfectly, and I think that does have value. Now, would that be $15 to $16 million a year value? I doubt it,
But I think it's going to be, you know, one of those deals that they have to try to get done. And he kind of shifts to the top. You know, I think when you look at free agents that they have to bring back, it goes Corey Davis, Desmond King, because he's going to be more affordable. You know, and Jonnu Smith is the top guy, but he's another one in that same situation as far as potential, mindset, and approach, you know, because he did a really good job blocking as well yesterday. So, you know, you have two guys that could get paid by other teams based off of what other teams believe he could do. So that's going to be tough for them. And, you know, Jayon Brown, I don't know if they're going to bring him back, given how, you know, they look at David Long as a key piece to their future.
Let's talk defense for a moment. It did look like, Teron, they changed the game plan, especially after the first couple of drives, or maybe it just didn't work as well the first couple of drives. The Colts clearly were having trouble, especially after Costanzo got hurt. But I thought the Titans should deserve some credit for not allowing Phillip Rivers to do what he did in the first matchup, which was just sort of sit back there and pick him apart. They were more aggressive. They brought more people. They forced him into quicker throws. They tried to take away some of the easy throws underneath, which was a huge criticism. I know you've been noticing that. Did you notice a difference in the coverage and the difference in the game plan?
Yeah, for sure. They played a bit closer than I've seen them play before. They challenged them. And some people say, oh, well, you know, they didn't have press coverage. They weren't a yard away from them, so how did they challenge them? Well, there's an easy way to challenge someone without being right up there in their face. Basically, you could challenge them within the routes, and that's what you saw them do. They were physical within that 5 yards, and I think that really mattered as far as disrupting the timing. You had blitzes going, and with those blitzes, you know, you had Rashawn Evans a couple times. He was at the line of scrimmage, you know, lined up right over the interior gaps and dropped back into the passing lane, and that caused Phillip Rivers to recoil and try to go someplace else. So there were some things that happened from a cover standpoint and attacking standpoint as far as blitzing Desmond King. Malcolm Butler blitzed a couple times as well. You saw Vaccaro being sent. And I think that's how you continue to get that pressure and you keep a team from being able to throw it in 2.3 seconds. You clog up those lanes and then you attack them. So I think they did a really good job there. They even got a cover sack. Jeffrey Simmons, his sack was because the coverage was real good. So he was able to continue working and get to the quarterback and bring him down.
We're talking to Teron Davenport, ESPN, Titans NFL Nation reporter. TD, one of the phrases that I love that you use in when we did Chase and TD, you brought it up all the time about that you can see the guy's ribs because he's that hungry, and that's the type of player he is. He's just going out and trying to make a play every time he hits the field. I know Breon Borders has been around. He's been in the league since 2017, but he strikes me as that type of guy, and I feel like that his play and his hunger has been contagious to the rest of the secondary. Have you seen that too?
Yeah, without a doubt. And there's no coincidence that that team has gotten better once he was out there and solidified that left corner position. And for me, it goes down. It started with one play, and this was against the Bears where Foles dumped it to Jimmy Graham in the flat. Graham caught it and turned upfield, and it was just Graham and Borders. And I was like, okay, let's see what he does. He brought him down, one-on-one, open field. Breon Borders is maybe 6 feet, 185, something like that. We're talking about a 6'6", 250-pound guy that they met up, and he brought him down. That is an example of the fire and the ability, the desperation that he plays with, because not a lot of corners are going to want to be in that situation. And then you look at just the way that he is – very sticky on receivers. You know, he covered Darnell Mooney pretty well that game. You know, this past one, he and T.Y. Hilton had some battles, and granted, Hilton made an outstanding catch for a touchdown, but they were going back and forth pretty well. And then, obviously, he had the interception, which was, you know, it was an overthrow by Rivers, but still, he hauled it in, and he dropped the pick six. But definitely seeing a lot of desperation and just wanting to do everything he can, understanding that this is his opportunity, and I think he's done a great job. He's been a big part of that third down defense improving because you see him getting some passes broken up. I definitely got to shout Breon Borders out for what he's done. And it's fun to watch a guy, you know, come out of nowhere and play so well.
Now, when you talk about a team, you'll always try and identify the dudes. Like, oh, they got some dudes. And with this Titans team, we know Derrick Henry is certainly one of those guys. Jeffrey Simmons, in my mind, has gotten to that point. And for the last several years, we have said Kevin Byard. He's a dude. He's one of the dudes. This year, it hasn't been that way. Do you chalk it up as simply he's having a bad year? He can bounce back. He's still a dude. He's still a very important part of that defense. Or do you think there's more to it than maybe we're not seeing?
No, I mean, I still think he's a top player, but he's not playing anywhere near to what he's capable of doing, and he'll tell you that. I think there are some lapses in technique. Like, you look at the touchdown that Trey Burton caught. You know, Trey Burton was able to give him an outside move and kind of open up, make Byard open up to the outside, and then he went back inside and was able to get position. You know, those are things that you don't always see happen to Kevin Byard. I think it's really just a lot of, with it being a new scheme, I think it just may be, and this isn't anything I'm saying definite, but I think he just may be out there thinking too much, and there's just that degree of hesitation, and that's why you see him almost near tip passes, whereas before, if it was tip, he's catching that, you know. So I think that really has a lot to do with it.
So I've asked you this before, but I'm curious to see how your answer has maybe changed. Now that Arthur Smith is well into his second year as the offensive coordinator, what is your evaluation of him and how he's developed as a play caller to this point?
I think he's done really well. He's very creative. And it goes beyond just play call, and it's the play design. There are different things, you know, like that touchdown that Derrick Henry had yesterday, you know, designing it so that you had the other receivers, Cam Batson, and one of the other receivers blocking it to clear it out so Henry could run into the end zone. I think using shifts and motions, that's really good because he does that not only to gather information, but more importantly, to give the guys better positioning. It's a really nice mixture of older run concepts and newer concepts as well. So I think that's really good. I love the way he sticks to the run, even if they're down by two touchdowns, you know, because yep. He understands that the running game is what gets this offense going. I just think with Arthur Smith, when he's in the groove, he could call plays with the best of them, but it's just a matter of getting in that groove. There are some times where he could get a little predictable or repetitive, and that's something that obviously he's working on. But, you know, he has his plays that he likes to go to, and he's going to draw them up and get them out there for the guys to do what they need to do.
But the play on the goal line to Tannehill, I mean, that was perfect because everybody was thinking it was going to Henry and that was going to be the fourth touchdown, and he ran the fake. I thought that was a great play call.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And they did something like that for the two-point conversion. I think it was last week or recently, one of the last couple of games, they did that as well.
What's on tap this week? What do you got?
Got Jake Trotter from ESPN, covers the Browns. I'm going to get him on, and we'll see. I'm thinking about a couple other guests, so I'm not sure yet, but always going to bring a fun show to listen to and informative, so I'll say that.
There you go. Check it out this week. Appreciate the visit as always. Thanks for doing this as always.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you guys.
All right. Talking with TD. That's Teron Davenport. His podcast will drop on Wednesday. Nate and TD on Friday nights right here on 102.5 The Game during the 6 o'clock hour. And you can also find his work on ESPN and ESPN.com. We'll come back. Don't forget, This Is What I Know at 11:45. More discussion of the Titans' victory in Indianapolis yesterday on the other side. But right now I want to talk to you a little college hoops. Gonzaga and Baylor will be going toe-to-toe for what could be the nation's top ranking in college basketball. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is giving all college basketball fans who sign up right now a chance to win $100 when betting on either Gonzaga or Baylor to win this Clash of the Titans. Plus, you'll get a deposit bonus up to $1,000 when signing up using the promo code 1025GAME. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code 1025GAME when you sign up for your shot to turn $100 into a lot more when you bet on either Gonzaga or Baylor to win. Once again, that code, 1025 game, during sign-up for a limited time, only DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, you can call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Thanks, Coach Stack. By the way, if you didn't hear, men's basketball program suspending all activities this week due to COVID-19 related. They will not head to Connecticut.
One positive test. Shut them down.
Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey. That's what our show was brought to you by. Smoother than smooth. We'll try to be smooth today. Man, it is coming down. I stand corrected.
Yeah, it's coming down here, too.
I stand corrected on scoffing.
I got some sideways
action
going on
here. At the Middle Tennessee meteorologist on all of our local channels, just calling for snow today. I'm like, ha! Whatever. Not in November. Whatever. Give me a break. You know that's sponsored by the grocery stores. You're trying to get everybody to run to the grocery stores and buy up all the bread and milk and water and all
that.
Of course. Because it's
guy.
True. No, I am going to be that guy. It's absolutely true. That I've lived it for 22-plus years in this market, and more times than not, it never, ever snows. We never see anything. But today,
I stand
corrected. They got it right.
Yeah, it's what I'm seeing out my window, not flurries.
No, it's coming down.
This is not.
It's still not sticking, but it is coming down here pretty good.
Yeah, it's not sticking here either. I mean, the ground's too warm, I would think. But, you know, it's cool. Like, this is what when people start freaking out and they see this, I'm like, it's not sticking. It's fine. It's just, it's pretty. That's what it is.
It's great.
It's fun.
To sit here and look out the window and see that while we're doing the show. Fantastic.
And I think because 2020 has been, you know, such crap, seeing some snow and putting up Christmas decorations. And I saw a lot of people putting their Christmas decorations up before Thanksgiving, and usually I'm kind of against that. But I'm like, you know what? Whatever makes you feel good right now, you do it. I'm cool with it. I listened to a little Mariah Carey while I was on vacation, some Christmas Mariah Carey. So I was feeling it.
I listened to Christmas music over the weekend. I'm all about Christmas music.
I hold out till December 1st.
Oh, yeah, but this is different.
Whatever.
It's a different year.
December 1st. Whatever.
Now I'll say this. Aaron put the lights up. We don't have the tree yet, but we do have the Christmas lights and decorations up.
I'm gonna call you Scrooge McDonick.
Scrooge McDonald.
I've been consistent every year. December 1st for me.
Oh,
for the music. For the music.
Oh,
and the tree.
Like that matters. Come on. As soon as Thanksgiving's done, you've got woken up from your nap. Man, I think it's game on, Christmas music. I'm all about it.
That's fine. Nothing wrong
but
with
I
that. I do think it's a little crazy for some people that have put it up well before Thanksgiving. I saw some trees up before Thanksgiving in my neighborhood. Lights. Trees, wreaths. I'm like, man, let's enjoy Thanksgiving, and then we'll go to it.
So when I listen to music on my phone, my iPod, essentially, I know a lot of people do playlists and smart playlists, and I probably should do that, but I don't. I'll just listen to everything on shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
So
me too.
So there are times when a Christmas song in July will pop up, and I'll skip it. I'm like, yep, nope, not Christmas time. But then the last few weeks, even before Thanksgiving, and usually I am the after Thanksgiving guy, I was like, you know what? This song just makes me happy, so I'm going to listen to it. And I did, and it helped. And it's 2020. You're allowed to do it. I have declared that it was okay if you listen before Thanksgiving.
I am all about Christmas music.
Oh, I know.
All about it.
And I'm waiting for Elijah to discover your favorite Christmas song, because that's going to be very important for him as the producer of the show.
Well, we must wait till December, so we can't even have that discussion until tomorrow. Today is too soon. Even though it's snowing and it feels like the holiday season right now when you look outside, we cannot talk about that until tomorrow, until it's officially December, according to one Scrooge McDonick, as Chase just called him.
Can't break any rules here, so I'm holding up on all
rules.
Christmas music.
I'm sure you got the memo from Willie Elijah. No, nothing until December 1st. And then it's official. By the way, the whole Black Friday and Cyber, like, it's all BS now. Like, they've been running these deals for weeks, okay? It's all crap.
Well, they did that on purpose, and I'm glad they did that because it cut down on the crowds big time.
Were you out?
I went out briefly on Friday because I needed deodorant. It's like I realized, oh, I am out, so that's kind of important. So I went to Target and I'm like, you know, this is probably the most tame I've seen Black Friday in a long time because they have been running the specials for a while to try and prevent a lot of people from getting out. And I'm glad they did that. So it was, and they all had their lines set up and you weren't on top of each other. So at least where I went. So yeah, I'm glad that they kind of expanded it and that didn't just have the one day.
Yeah. There was nothing special about today. There was nothing special about Friday. Nothing. All that stuff's been out there, as Willie knows from my, you just made the list. You know, I think a lot of this stuff is also, they're running all these specials just to get you to get some traffic, foot traffic in the store or on their sites, and none of that stuff is available, and they just hope that you'll stay on there or stay in there and buy something else.
Yep.
But I don't need to revisit Friday. That was my little rant. All right, let's talk about special teams, which, you know, hasn't been exactly a pleasant conversation this season. Wasn't a pleasant conversation last year. But actually, something good happened in special teams. I mean, it actually was, you know, and by the way, did anybody, whenever Kaskowski, it didn't count. We know we heard the whistle. We understand. There was a delay of game. But when he kicked it, the 44-yarder, and it was like, oh, my gosh, here we go again. But then they move him back five yards, and it's like, oh, okay. How is that possible, by the way? 49, 50, 50-plus, you feel better than than field goals less than that. I mean, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But that's the feeling now we have in Gostkowski.
On that particular one, the whistle was so early, I think Gostkowski knew as he approached the ball that it wasn't going to count either way, so he just sort of booted it.
But why miss it on purpose? Why, though?
I don't
why
think he missed it on purpose. I don't think he concentrated. I think he knew as the ball was being snapped it was a no play. It's like a pitcher when the hitter calls time, you go through with the pitch, but you're not really focused on it. So we got to give him credit. He's had two straight weeks now, hopefully building confidence with each passing kick that the woes and the issues are behind him. And if each one he makes, I think, alleviates some of the mental weight that everybody feels, right? Fans, team, media. I mean, the same thing's on everybody's mind when he approaches the ball. But he's had two straight weeks now. Hopefully, you put another one together. It's also very nice to have Brett Kern back. He had his angles, ball dropping down right on the sideline at the 6 or the 11. That
Just
was
doing
nice.
What he does.
So that's two straight weeks where the special teams has been a positive, not just a neutral, but a positive in the game. That makes a huge, huge difference because it wasn't just neutral before. It was a big negative. It was worst in the league kind of stuff for several weeks up to that point. So that it definitely is something that is the difference. When you're saying, okay, how do you beat the Colts and the Ravens back-to-back on the road? Well, that was a big part of the equation. Good special teams. It's done a 180.
How about A.J. Brown on the hands team?
Yeah, that was
something. I could get used to that. Of course, they won't be doing that again, probably most teams, but that was pretty cool.
In your fantasy league, do you get the points when he did that?
Of course. Nobody's starting the Titans defense, but sure, yeah.
I didn't know. Some leagues are different, though. I've seen that where you don't get the guy if he scores a special teams touchdown.
Yeah, no, the league that I'm in the person that had A.J. Brown, he didn't get credit for it.
No. Are you asking for the Titans D or are you asking for A.J. Brown?
I'm asking for A.J. Brown. If you have A.J. Brown on your fantasy roster as a receiver.
A special teams play.
And he returns a kick for a touchdown.
I don't believe so.
You don't get the points?
Yeah,
you have to have Titans defense or special teams to get that?
Yeah, like in this other league that I'm in, whoever had the Titans D in special teams, which I don't think anyone does, they got credit. They would get credit for it.
Right. But if you have AJ Brown, you're asking. Who's got this? I'm trying to look and see if I can find AJ Brown. Who's got him? I thought probably you guys.
Yeah, I just think that's
we did last year.
You should get the points. I think if a guy scores a touchdown, I think you should get
those
points.
In my league. You did. You do.
Yeah,
he did.
You're saying in our league. The league that the three of us are in?
Yes. He got the 98 yards receiving, he got the receiving touchdown, and he got the kickoff return touchdown.
I think that's how it should be, but that's not how it is in all the leagues. I'm pretty certain.
See? Now I know why he had a big week. He had Nick Chubb, A.J. Brown, and Tyreek Hill. Yeah, that explains why he had the high for the week.
I'm in three leagues. I'm in another CBS league. And I do have A.J. Brown. I did not get credit for it.
You need to call somebody.
I do, yeah.
You need me as your commissioner. I'll give you credit.
No, you're a good commissioner.
It's not on any of our teams, so I don't know why we should be applauding. We should be like, no, that person, if he's not on our rosters, we should be like, no, take those six off the board. All right, we will come back and find out what you know. We've got a good gift. $25 gift card to Party Foul. That's nice. 615-737-1025 is how you can get in touch with us. That's our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll come back and finish up the hour with some phone calls. We'll do that on the other side. But look, the snow is out there falling. It feels like the holiday season, right? Tomorrow is December. And if you've got a friend in your circle of friends or a family member, and you've been doing some shopping, and everybody's got that tough, especially in your family, right? You've got that tough person, whether it's a brother, a sister, an aunt, an uncle, whatever, that is, you're just not sure what to get them. Well, maybe they're a bourbon lover. Everybody's got a bourbon lover in their family, right? Well, I do. So it made things real easy for me. And you can find that someone special. You can find that person that maybe is tough to get that gift for. I've got something for you. How about Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey? You've heard me talk about it. They sponsor our show. It's smoother than smooth. If you don't believe me, try it for yourself. It's unfiltered at 93 proof. They're very, very proud of where it's crafted. It's crafted in the state. It's crafted in Memphis, Tennessee. And they like to honor, they tell the story by saying it's there to honor the blues. That is a big part of the history of Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey. There's something that they're very, very proud of. And it's available in this state. It's available here in Middle Tennessee. I have friends that have heard me talking about it. They have tried it out. The reviews have been very good. And if you would like to follow them, okay, on Instagram or Facebook, you can do that. It's at Blue Note Bourbon. But don't forget, they've got the premium small batch 9-year bourbon as well. And that's something that piques my interest. But look, if you're trying to shop for that someone and you know you've got that bourbon lover, whether it's a friend or family member, give this a try. Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey, smoother than smooth. Please enjoy responsibly.
Some things you just know.
I have to know.
Do you think everybody knows?
When you know, you just know. It's time to set the record straight. Join the fun on This Is What I Know with Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Yeah, we want to know. What do you know? It's very simple. Open canvas. Just tell us what you know. The best one will receive a $25 gift card to Party Foul, but you have to call in and participate. 615-737-1025. That is our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. On this snowy Monday, just tell us what you know. Like, for example, this is what I know. Congratulations to Sarah Fuller. She's been named SEC Special Teams Co-Player of the Week. Pretty cool honor.
How about that?
Very, very cool. Also, this is what I know. A special congratulations to now College Basketball Hall of Famer, a part of the 2021 class, one Mr. Rick Bird.
Congrats.
How about that?
No brainer.
Pretty cool. Pretty, pretty cool. All right, that's what I know. What do you guys know?
All right, let me follow up on your Sarah Fuller thing. This is what I know, and this is directed at certain trolls out there.
I'm glad, yeah.
There is a difference between a story that gets publicity and a, quote, publicity stunt. So a publicity stunt would imply that they took all of their kickers on the Vanderbilt roster and set them aside for Sarah Fuller to come in and kick. And for anybody that did 10 minutes of research on it, not even 10, 2 minutes of research on it, you knew that that was not the case. Right? So all the people out there of the, well, what about the men's soccer team? Well, they don't have a men's soccer team.
What
haven't
soccer
for 20
team?
Years. What about all the other students on the campus? Everybody was home for Thanksgiving. There were no students on campus. Well, what about everybody else on the team? They tried. They looked. They asked, does anybody else kick? Well, they looked at that. She was the best person for the job. She was the best kicker they had available. They didn't have any other options. So she stepped up for the team that was in need. She didn't have to do it. She stepped up because she was the best option that they had. She did it for her school, for her team, and she is to be commended for it. So, no, it was not a publicity stunt. Know the difference between something that gets a lot of publicity for the right reason, for good reason, and a, quote, publicity stunt. So that's what I know.
Well said. And I'll add to that. I think, and now it's telling, but it's also awesome that, you know, she could have very easily walked in there and like, hey, I'm just going to stay under the radar. I'm doing this because they asked me. Like, I'm just going to try and not, you know, just be quiet, stand back. But the fact that she did give a speech at halftime because she noticed that they needed energy and they needed more of that, and that she stepped up and wasn't afraid to do that, I mean, that. Kudos to her. That's awesome that she did that. It's telling, but it's also awesome that
how you
that she
handle
was
yourself
to do
in
that.
A moment like that is important. She handled herself tremendously well.
Yes. So this is what I know. I almost called in Friday to do what I'm going to do here as a list. It is certainly list worthy. But it was something that, like, I immediately was like, okay, I got to bring this up on Monday, for this is what I know. When you're pulling out, when you're in a parking lot, and you obviously have where you drive down to pull into the spaces, but you have a lot of the surrounding roads that take you out to the main road. What I know is it is not safe to have a ton of bushes that are blocking the way where you can't look either way to see if another car is coming. When I'm pulling onto the road to get to the main road in the Nashville West Shopping Center, I say a little prayer every time because the bushes have gotten so big, I can't see around them. Like, you have to kind of put your nose out into traffic to be able to see. And again, you're just hopeful that nobody's coming. So what I know is be careful and Can we get the bushes trimmed and
trim
that
trim your
bit?
Bushes.
Yes. It's very good to trim the bushes.
Yep. It's people can't see if you don't trim your bushes.
Exactly.
So there you go. All right, we've got loaded lines. 615-737-1025 is how you can get in touch with us. Let's start things off with Nick. Nick, what do you know?
Hi, guys.
How you doing?
This is what I know. If I have to wear a mask because that's part of the rules, by God, you got to stay at the house because that's part of the rules. Running up and down 81, four, three times over the last 4 days, bumper to bumper, stay at home.
Oh, so the traffic has been bad. I have not been out. I'll just be perfectly honest. I haven't been out. So you're saying traffic's been bad?
It was brutal.
Oh.
Thursday and Sunday, and Friday and Saturday weren't a whole lot better. But,
Nick?
God, y'all, follow the rules. Just follow the rules.
All right, Nick, thank you. I'm just going to be perfectly honest. I've told our bosses this. I don't miss driving in this town one bit. One bit, and it's not going to change. My feelings are not going to change. In fact, my mood has been a lot better not driving around in this town. This is the least amount of driving I think I've ever done since I got my driver's license, and I'm better for it.
Yep. I'm the same way.
I don't miss that Nick one bit, and I'm sorry that you had to deal with it. But driving in this town sucks, and I don't miss it. All right, let's go to Adam. Adam, you're up next. What do you know?
Can you hear me now, buddy?
We got you.
All right, cool. Yeah, this is what I know. I usually stay away from this segment because the sexiest picks are always non-sports related, but I had to call. This is what I know. Number 22 is not the most important player on the Tennessee Titans roster. Neither is number 17 or number 11. It's number 6, baby, and I want to get a Brett Kern jersey because I am so infatuated with him and this story, man. Like, he didn't have any punts shanked or blocked. He wasn't even close to getting a punt blocked. Instead, he hits the 6-yard line, the 9-yard line, and the 12-yard line coming off injury. So I understand that game looked different, and if we get them in the playoffs, I think it's going to probably be much tighter than it was. But Brett Kern will be the same. He's the constant there, so I think he gives us an advantage more so than any other punter in the league. So I say number 6 is the most important player on our team. That's what I know.
Okay. I don't think we learned anything there. I think we've already
known. He's a
dude. Yeah, I mean, we've already known that he's been arguably the best punter in the league for a good while now. I mean, a good while. We've been saying that. He's not the most important player on the team. Derrick Henry is the most important player on the team, but Brett Kern is in the top 3. There's no doubt. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, we've seen life in a short span, what it looks like for the Titans without Brett Kern, and it's a disaster. It's a disaster. And when he comes in, everything calms down, right? It just does. Which
it's
is
like, oh, they're 6. Okay, we feel good.
Right.
Good.
How many people can say that about their punter? Well, that just goes to show you, don't take the punter for granted. You can see what it looks like without him. And like I said, it was a disaster here without Brett Kern. Let's go to Daryl. Daryl, what do you know?
Hi, guys.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. I'm not a big bettor, but typically when I bet against my heart and bet against the team that I like, covering the line or winning outright. So 3 consecutive weeks, I took the other team against the Titans, and that was the Colts and the Ravens, and then the Colts again. I thought the chances of the Colts winning yesterday was great. I didn't think the Titans had any shot at all. So this is what I know. $500 in 3 consecutive weeks is enough to knock me out of the betting business.
Oh, yeah, that's not good. Daryl, I'm with you. I did not touch the – I've stopped touching the Titans games. Willie knows. I said – I picked the Colts in pick 6, and I said that's great news for the Titans. Great news, because I don't have a clue what they're going to do week to week. Haven't had a clue. I thought the Ravens were going to beat them. I thought they were going to beat the Colts the first go-around. I thought they were going to lose yesterday. I'm with you, man. I can't figure this team out either. I don't know when they're going to win.
I'll give you some help.
I stay away from Titans games.
I'll give you some help, Daryl. This is where you need to go. Only twice this year has a Titans game hit the under. So if you want a safe bet, take the over in a Titans game.
Really?
Yep.
Only twice they've been under?
Yep.
This entire year?
Yep.
Oh.
Overs, they're all about it.
Why are you waiting till now to give that stat out?
I could have used that stat,
you know, with all the other times I've been betting, you know, either on the Titans or against the Titans in the month of November.
You just
since it's been
it,
legal.
Though.
Thanks.
Now the secret's out.
Oh,
they're going to raise the over-under, and now you guys are going to be
hosed. So you can give stats, but when Chase gives a stat, it's a jinx? I mean, come on.
Willie's like, I'm the number
guy. I'm kidding.
You do not give stats. If you give a stat, it's a jinx.
Stop joking, Willie.
I'm just joking. Go ahead. Take the over every week. See what happens.
You call me a Scrooge, I'll come back at you. Doug always knows something. What do you know?
Hello, fellas. This is what I know. I've been looking at stock lately. You know, got a lot of free time on my hands. So this is what I know. I saw Sarah Fuller's stock go up this weekend, and I saw Derek Mason's stock go down. It's a doggone shame when the newest person on your team, a female, gives a halftime speech, win one for the Gipper. That's sad.
That's when my alarms went off. I got to be honest, Doug.
They're 365 days too late. They should have done it last year, COVID or not. And this is something else I know. I bet it was done through FaceTime or text message. They didn't even kind of face to face.
Well, I don't know. We don't know. We're going to try to get a little clarity on that from Chris Lee. Thank you, Doug. As always, he's going to start the third hour. But That's when the alarms went off for me. When Sarah Fuller said she's in there giving the halftime speech, I knew that was bad, bad news for Derek Mason.
I do think, for the record, it was done in a pretty classy manner. I don't know if it was Zoom or not. We know this is different, but I saw publicly the statement from Candace Story Lee and the public statement from Derek Mason. They both handled it very, very well. I think they have a huge mutual respect for one another.
No doubt. But I think he's just saying, you know, because of the times we're in, you know, it's just not the normal stuff.
Yeah. It sucks to get dumped via text message. I can tell you that.
Ouch.
Real quick. Thanks for doing that on the way out. All right, real quick, Nate, what do you know? Then we got to get to Chris Lee.
Is this C&B? Checks and Balances, Nate?
Checks and Balances.
Yes,
C&B.
It is Checks and Balances.
C&B.
Willie, quit being a Scrooge. Let people enjoy the happiness that they can have. Anyways, this is what I know, fellas. I did try the Blue Note 9-year this past weekend, and I can emphatically say I will be buying a bottle of that when I am financially able. Also, this is what I know. Bruce Arians is kind of ruining Tom Brady. He needs to get out of the way and let him just play. Because people are going to be saying, oh, Brady would have probably had one or two Super Bowls if Bruce Arians had gone out of the way, if this would be his only team.
Okay. Nate, thank you as always. And thanks for trying the premium stuff with Blue Note. Good stuff.
It is very good.
All right. I like that. We will definitely pass that along. There's a satisfied customer. All right. We'll come back. Hour number three. Chris Lee, we're going to find out exactly what went on at Vanderbilt. We do that next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.